On March 4th, Russians will be going to the polls to choose the next president of the Russian Federation. The candidate almost certain to win is current Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, who was previously president from 2000 to 2008. What makes this election different is that for the first time, there is highly visible popular opposition to Putin. The changing attitude is the subject of a new documentary, Putin's Kiss. It's about a teenage girl in a pro-Putin youth organization. Our critic at large, John Power, says her story captures a country's fading romance with its leader.
There's a great moment in Tom Stoppard's play Jumpers when a husband tries to convince his wife that an election has been democratic. "I had a vote," he tells her, to which his wife replies, "It's not the voting that's democracy, it's the counting." I thought of this line last December, when, for the first time since the Soviet Union's fall, tens of thousands of Russians took to the streets protesting what they insisted was a crooked parliamentary election. This was the first of three strikingly large demonstrations against Vladimir Putin. Now, it wasn't so long ago that Putin was so popular he was thought to be unassailable. But that's changed. And if you want to know why his support has fallen, you might start with Putin's Kiss, an absorbing new documentary by Danish director Lise Berg-Petersen. It charts 4 years in the life of a Russian teenager named Masha Drakova, who became famous as the girl who publicly kissed Vladimir Putin. When we first meet Masha, she's 16 and an avid member of Nashi, a youth group officially created to advance the Russian nation, but designed, in fact, to promote Putin's party, United Russia. Ardent, articulate, and full-figured, she's known as, quote, the girl with the big breasts, unquote, Masha quickly rises in Nashi. And because Nashi is linked to Putin, her fealty brings rewards. She gets a car, an apartment, a place in Moscow University, even her own TV show. Such are the glories of Putin's Russia. But then this glory starts to curdle. Masha begins hanging out with people critical of Putin, including a wry journalist named Oleg Kashin, who jokes that her life has become like a reality show. Masha gets new liberal friends. Not only does she grow more independent, she starts seeing that Nashi has its sinister side. It marches through Moscow carrying placards showing the faces of people who are supposedly Russia's enemies. Opposition politicians, muckraking journalists, even 80-year-old women renowned for their human rights work during the Soviet era. By the time Kashin is nearly killed in a politically motivated beating, Masha's old certainties are evaporating. Now, what makes Putin's Kiss interesting goes beyond Masha's personal rise and fall. For starters, it offers a fresh glimpse into how Putin's Russia actually works. We see why Putin, who always looked to me like a 60s James Bond villain, enjoyed years of popularity. Masha grew up watching him bring order and prosperity to a country that had melted down after the fall of communism. He seemed like a savior. At the same time, we see how Putin, an ex-KGB man, has created his own version of democracy. He calls it sovereign democracy, an oligarchy that uses everything from the police to street thugs to groups like Nashi to keep down anyone who might oppose him. Putin has created a Russia where you can do most of what you want, just so long as you don't question who's running it or how. And because bad things can happen to those who do ask questions, it's hard not to marvel at those who stand up against the system. Most are not world-famous martyrs like the imprisoned oil baron Mikhail Khodorkovsky. Instead, they're like the heroes of Valery Punyushkin's recent book, 12 Who Don't Agree, a gripping page-turner I highly recommend. It's about a dozen down-to-earth men and women who, for various reasons, have gotten fed up with Putinism. They oppose his rule and pay the price in beatings, harassment, loss of jobs, and social ostracism. Masha's fate is less melodramatic, which is part of what makes Putin's Kiss so revelatory about what's happening in Russia right now. You see, Masha is no radical, no saint. This young woman who starts out the movie kissing her idol ends it in bewildered disillusionment, standing on the street holding a sign demanding that the authorities investigate the beating of her friend, Oleg Kashin. Like so many of her fellow countrymen, Masha knows that something has gone badly wrong, even if she's not sure how to put it right.
John Powers is film and TV critic for Vogue and Vogue.com. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show. And you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our associate producer for online media is Melody Kramer. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.